looking forward to this next conversation. There's all sorts of things getting me riled up in provincial politics these days. We had some interesting calls today. One of my favorites was the guy who called in. I'm sorry, I think it was Mel who called in and was talking about how, yeah, we should ban cell phones in the classrooms, but we need to lead by example. Our provincial politicians shouldn't, you know, we've been hearing about Jeremy Harrison sending text messages to Speaker Randy Weeks. They shouldn't be on their cell phones while they're working. And I said, so do you want an open investigation about those, you know, allegedly harassing and intimidating text messages being sent to the speaker? Oh, no, we don't care about that. I just don't think they should be on their cell phones. I loved that call. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so my next guest, of course, I teased this before the break. Murray Mandrick, columnist for the Regina Leader Post and for the Saskatoon Star Phoenix. And my first question to you, Murray Mandrick, our esteemed provincial affairs pundit on all things provincial affairs in Canada, in Saskatchewan, is how in the world are we living in a world where our provincial premier leaves a large crowd at the farm show to step in front of reporters and say this?
My answer at that point in time was, as I actually don't believe in chemtrails dropping whatever chemicals. And the question wasn't specific to chemtrails. It was a bunch of products coming out of the planes.
I'm not saying that our premier thinks that there's chemtrails, but what universe are we in where these are the conversations that are happening in scrums, conspiracy theories in this province, Murray Mandrick?
I don't know how. It's kind of funny how we get there, Tamara. Like, I think the problem being is one that sort of came out of the 2020 election. And watching this for 4 years, I don't know why it occurred. But in essence, the problem is that the Premier and the SAS party in general are scared about being flanked from the right. And at the time, it was the Buffalo Party. Now it's the Saskatchewan United Party. By no small coincidence, this whole thing in Spears, the whole thing where all these conspiracy theories came out, it wasn't really a community meeting. It was a meeting organized by a couple people in the community who happened to invite the Buffalo Party and who happened to invite the Saskatchewan United Party to speak to them as well to talk about these same issues that they're talking about. Now, people have a right to believe in whatever they have choose to believe. It's a free country, et cetera, et cetera. I don't particularly support some of the silly notions that they have. But it's also incumbent upon the Premier to basically say, look, there's certain things I want to entertain and certain things I don't. And I think the Premier probably should have known what he was getting into in terms of going to that meeting in Spears. It's his riding. He would have known who these people in the community are. He would have known who else they would have invited to. He could have had a private conversation with them. I'll listen to your theories, etc. Why he decided to actually go to the meeting is sort of one of these great mysteries that none of us seem to be able to figure out. And I think the short answer is, getting back to this notion about how paranoid the SAS party is about losing votes to the right, even though I don't think they're going to lose any votes to the right. I think most people on the right of the political spectrum are incredibly reasonable people who get that some of these theories are just too outlandish and they're not basing their votes on anything related to them. But either through the advice the Premier is getting or through other matters, he decided, at least at one point, it was important to at least hear these people out. And I don't think that's a smart political move because, as you know, he winds up wearing it, and he's wearing it at a major international farm show where he has to step before the cameras and say things like, yeah, I don't believe in chemtrails, even though I didn't make that clear at the meeting I was at.
What do you think is going to last longer in the headlines, though, Murray Mandrick? The chemtrails comments, the conspiracy theory conversations that were happening at this, you know, so-called town hall, or what happened at the House Services Committee on Monday where members of his party, the majority SASC party members, voted down these motions rather swiftly for, you know, at least some level of transparency of an investigation into these allegedly threatening or intimidating and harassing text messages being sent to the speaker, among many other allegations. Which scandal, if we can call them those, is going to outlast the other?
Well, if I can preface it, I think what's going to outlast all this stuff is probably the stuff that the government wants to be talking about and probably is talking about today, like the fact that we've had 30,000 more people show up to live in this province in the last year and 5,000 more people in the last quarter. These are all great news stories for the government. And as long as there's these good news stories coming up and the economy is reasonably strong, I think that that predominates the news cycle for the government because people kind of forget about these stories that come and go. But I think you're right about one thing is that if you're suggesting that these stories are problematic for the government because they kind of cut away at the good faith people have in government, it's one thing. I think the chemtrail stories can't come and go because people can kind of reason
yes.
as to why a politician has to go to a meeting or would get caught up mm-hmm. in a meeting.
Well, it's his constituency, where, right? You should be listening to the people that you're serving.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, it's not really for them to judge as easily as I can as to who I think is a little nutty about some of their ideas and who isn't. I don't have to put up with these people, and I don't have to basically go to the meetings, and I can argue with them because I have the forum to do so. Politicians have to be a little bit more diplomatic about that. But it's for that reason I think that maybe if it's a choice between the two, I think the story with the actual more legs is the fact that we actually have a situation where a trusted advisor to the premier in former government house leader, now Jeremy Harris, still economic and trade minister, basically made this horrific judgment decision at one point or the other to bring in a gun in the legislature, and that the speaker at some point or the other decided to raise this as an issue. There's a whole bunch of intrigue with that story that I think gives it legs, one of which is, okay, well, why did Randy Weeks wait until the end of the session, in essence, the end of his term, because he won't be reelected because he doesn't have a SAS party nomination?
Why do you think he waited? Because, I mean, our text board has been full of people saying exactly that. Like, this is, you know, if he was worried about harassment, if he was worried about this gun, why are we only hearing about it now? There's a whole bunch of arguments that I could be made around, you know, do you ask a woman who is being abused by her husband, why didn't she leave years earlier? Unfortunately, some people do. But why do you think he waited this long, Marie?
I think because he would have lost his job and would have lost his role had he raised it a year ago or 2 years ago. I think it's because they would have voted him out as speaker. And I think he knows and realizes that. And I think reasonable people can sort of see how that works. It was seen as a bit of a disloyal thing for him to tell tales out of school about what was going on, even in the form of those text messages that were being sent back and forth. I guess the better question is, why didn't he raise it with the premier? Well, I think the reason he probably didn't raise it with the premier is he thought the premier would not act on the matter and would favor people like Jeremy Harrison or Finance Minister Donna Hartpower or Lori Carr, who's another senior minister, now Highways Minister, over the speaker because they were complaining about how the speaker did his job. And I think this is just sort of the logic of politics. That was sort of the sour grapes thing that everybody is trying to spin in terms of Mr. Weeks raising it now. Well, there's probably a pretty logical reason why he raised it now is because he wouldn't have had his role and title and ability to do so. He did so at the last moment. Some people might say, well, you know, it was sort of a bitter last thing for Mr. Weeks to do. But given the volume of things that he's complained about or faced, at least in terms of the number of text messages, I can't blame him for being a little annoyed and upset and angry. Maybe he's somewhat overreacted to some of the things because I don't honestly believe Mr. Harrison in any way is any kind of threat to anybody or was threatening or anything like that. I think he was just someone who was maybe acting in a really entitled way and showing incredibly bad judgment. But to raise it now with either internally or externally, which is highly unusual. You never hear politicians tell tales out of school about what's going on in their private communications between one another in the way that this has all come up. I think that's the other reason why it has has the legs it does, is because people are just so intrigued by the notion of politicians even talking about this in a real and live way. So it has that way. Yeah, he probably should have raised it earlier. But, you know, he wouldn't have been able to raise it much earlier because he probably would have lost his job, because I think the government would have been as mad at him, or even madder, then as they are now. Mm-hmm. Now there's not much they can actually do about it, because he's not running again. It's basically, as he said, when he put that message out on Twitter, enough is enough, with the picture of his torn up card. I think a lot of it's driven by the fact that, he's frustrated that he didn't get the nomination. But to be quite frank, I think that there's a lot of people, and probably including Mr. Weeks, although I haven't got an answer from him, who probably feel that the party orchestrated the whole contested nomination against him. Most sitting MLAs don't have a contested nomination. A few did, but most don't. And the fact that he was a guy that's been running since, or has been elected since 1999, it was highly unusual that this was a contested thing. And you can't help but think that one of the reasons it was is because the party was rather dissatisfied with what they seen as maybe a too even-handed approach he had towards the rulings in the House. I don't think he was actually kind of very favorable to the opposition, by the way. I think his rulings were just generally good. But
he could have some reason for sour grapes. But I mean, the way I see it, if whether there's sour grapes or not, if these things were done, these harassing, intimidating text messages, the lunging at the speaker, all these things deserve in my view, a transparent investigation. In your column, though, so you're saying that this scandal, if we can call it that, still has legs in the media. But in your column this week, you pointed to comments from Speaker Weeks last week about the whole issue of Harrison bringing weapons into the legislative building as something that is serious, something that needs to be addressed, something that cannot be just ignored. And you wrote, well, evidently it can. So with the NDP motions for the public examination into the speaker's allegations so swiftly voted down on Monday, how do you see this continuing to play out, if at all, in the months leading up to the election?
Well, it's an interesting question. And to be honest with you, it's nothing new. Politicians and governments that get long in the tooth tend to start to do stupid things. And there was a similar situation back in the late early 2000s, when there was a gentleman by the name of Murdoch Carrier who did some completely and totally inappropriate things as a senior government official in relation to the women that was working under him, and was eventually fired for that. But in essence, he kept saying that he had a lot of pull with the NDP and kept making those threats, according to emails and other things, prior to his being fired. And the government kind of did not take the action that the NDP government at the time did not take the action that they should have. Mm. And it was just appalling. In the same way, they basically decided not to hold a serious investigation into his actions when they should have. There should have been a serious investigation into how the whole GTH land scandal thing came about, and how friends of Bill Boyd or political associates did really well financially on this particular deal. And there wasn't then, too. It's what happens when governments kind of get a little too focused on getting reelected and not focused enough on the people that they serve. And the commonality there is it's always governments that are getting a little old. They get a little long in the tooth and losing their priorities. And I think that's why it's a bit of a problem. People are starting to see that within this government. And this just becomes another example. I guess what I'm saying, this is my first rodeo, and I guess I've seen this a fair number of times with various governments, in terms of them sticking up for other members of their own caucus as opposed to whom they should be sticking up for. And that's the people of Saskatchewan. Now, the weird part about this is Randy Weeks was, or at least until he tore up his membership card, was a member of the Sask Party and the Sask Party caucus technically too. And so they chose one over the other because one was making trouble for them, and the other one was they're basically trying to avoid the embarrassment that might have been caused by his story getting more attention than it already has.
Murray, we've just got a minute or so left, and I'd like to talk to you, if I can, for a minute about the NDP, because as you pointed out in another column this week, they've seemingly had a lot going for them by way of the Sask Party's deluge of scandals, motel gate, window business gate, tire recycling contract gate, not to mention speaker gate, of course. And yet you write that it wasn't exactly a spring session for the NDP. How is that? And does this party need a rebrand? Should they even be calling themselves the NDP anymore, given that it is so easy, apparently, for people, at least in the rural parts of this province, to just say, no, never voting for NDP, period?
That's an interesting question, because the brand is pretty poisoned right now in Saskatchewan and Western Canada. Weird, because they're once called the natural governing party. Right now, I think the SAS party is the natural governing party in Saskatchewan and will continue to be so as long as they can relate better to the people. And they have, because of the carbon tax, because of some of the things Trudeau did. The NDP has been desperate to try and distance themselves from the federal policies of Jagmeet Singh and the whole party. And I guess that's where...
And what better way to do that than just drop the name? Call yourself something else.
The problem being is that they're still the same people associated thereof. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the SAS party dropped the name Conservatives, and everybody kind of sees them as Conservatives. And I think if there's a federal Conservative government, that's eventually going to weigh on the SAS party, too. So sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes it's a little bit more complicated in terms of it's what you stand for. And I think what I was talking about, or what I think the problem is they haven't been able to rebrand themselves as something separate. And that has everything to do with past NDP leaders, past policies. They haven't been a good opposition because they kind of did go a little far left at times.
Yeah.
Now they're kind of moving back towards the right, which is their bigger problem right now.
Yes.
They're not in the middle.
Yes. All right. Murray Mandrick, of course, the esteemed provincial affairs columnist at the Regina Leader Post. You can also read him, of course, in the Saskatoon Star Phoenix. Murray, I hope I can have you on again when I'm filling in for Evan Bray. This has been delightful, and I feel like there's always so much more to unpack with our provincial politics, isn't there?
It's always a three-wing circus.
Yeah, seriously. All right. You're listening to Tamara Cherry on the Evan Bray Show, 980 CGME 650 CKOM. We'll be right back.